My name is Emilio Martinez. I am a calisthenics and functional movement trainer at Movement Instinct. Mm-hmm. And you are?
My name is Mark Klein, and I have a concept which I call mindful movements. And I'm very much interested in movements. But I also teach a lot of yoga classes. So that's what my specialty is, I think. But I see myself more as a mover in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And for those that don't understand what you mean by a mover in general, could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, I think that brings us to our first question, actually. I think it's a very good question. I don't know who was the guy that made the question, but it's...
So for the viewers, we asked on social media to you guys or to our audience if they have questions regarding movement. Mm-hmm. And we wrote down three questions. The first one you have written down is by Rich, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. He asked, what is movement as a concept, both zooming in and zooming out? And for me, movement, I think what he meant by that is zooming in for me as a personally, and maybe zooming out, what can it mean for the broader
sense?
Yeah. Well, I think it's creating a different view on exercising or physical activity, however you want to call it. Seeing movement more as something that is not only there when you are practicing 1 or 2 hours a week, whatever your practice is. It could be football, it could be fitness, it could be swimming, running, cycling, whatever you do as a physical activity. Not seeing that as the moment that you move, but seeing life more as movement, constant movement. Everything you do involves a body. So not only when you're doing your physical activity once or twice or even more during the week, but at every moment, whenever you are doing something, you're doing something with your body. For instance, we're sitting right now, we're sitting on our floor drinking tea, trying to talk into this microphone. And while we do this, my legs are a little bit bent. I have a little bit of a forward bend in my spine. I'm having a sip of my tea using my arms, and I'm breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to connect with my mind, trying to connect with the words that I'm... So every moment you are actually training your body, whatever you're doing, even when you're resting, when you're sleeping. I think that is, for me, what makes somebody interested in movements.
Yeah, I think I agree, because people tend to see exercise as something apart from what you're doing in your day-to-day life. It's as if you're following your day and now you have to exercise. It's like...
Exactly.
Something that's outside of your norm.
Yeah.
But movement, I find, is something really essential to being a human.
Yeah.
And I don't think it helps the view that we have of exercising. I don't think that's a very beneficial way of seeing it.
Exactly. I think if you look at exercising, why do we exercise? Why do we go to our gym?
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly because of compensating something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, compensating our very sedentary life, or compensating our not very varying set of movements we do during a daily life. But if you look at it, evolutionary perspective, we were very much moving around until 200 years ago.
To 200,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
When you look at it.
I think, I'm not sure about the exact numbers, but I think 200,000 years ago we were still hunters.
Uh-huh.
And from then we went to agriculture, where we're still moving.
Yeah, we're still moving in agriculture. Maybe not as much as hunting around and stuff, but it's definitely more movement than right now at the moment.
Yeah, true.
With our e-bikes and our yeah. Well, again, it's not that it's bad that we have all these things. It can be very useful.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, we're not condemning modernity.
No.
Because it brings with it a lot of good things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our quality of life is so much better than it was back then. It's
yeah.
it's not even comparable.
Yeah.
But with it comes a lot of side effects. We seem to have forgotten the body, and we are so much in the mind. Everything we do, we're in the front of the computer or we are at work.
Yeah.
We're just sitting the whole day, 8 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Most people forget to read the signs of what their body is trying to tell them. And I think with that, we have lost a little bit of what it means to be a human or a fully human.
Mm. Yeah. What do you mean by human? Can you explain it a little bit?
Yeah. That's a very good question.
It's very important though. I think it's very, very... I see definitely what you mean. Maybe explain this a little bit more.
Yeah, as a human. Yeah, foremost, we are animals.
Mm-hmm.
And during the majority of our existence here on Earth, as a species, we have moved around to be able to survive, to gather food, to fight off predators.
Yeah.
We have not been so living so long here on Earth.
That's true.
And in the last couple of hundreds or maybe thousands of years, we have changed our standards. Our lives have changed so much compared to before.
Yeah.
But our biology doesn't change that fast.
Yeah.
So it's still in us to be able to want to move or to be able to express ourselves to movement.
Yeah. I think it's what you said earlier about forgetting our body, separating those two things, mind and body. I think that's one of the biggest problems. Yeah. I think... separating our body, seeing it as something that is not even yours sometimes. Some people, especially when they have an injury or something, they look at the injury, they point at it and it says, this hurts. But maybe it's not that hurts. It's part of you, you know? It's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing it more as as not something external, you
mm-hmm.
know. And when you combine and connect body and mind, seeing that what was given to you by whatever you believe in, I think it gives you more responsibility, the feeling of responsibility to taking care of whatever was given to you. For instance, this body of yours. Yeah. So.
Yeah, you cannot divide the two. That's what it comes down to. We seem to divide the body and mind, but the body is the mind.
Exactly. Yeah.
And what happens with the body influences the mind. and vice versa. We cannot divide those two.
Yeah.
For example, when you see how kids learn, and maybe that has, that's connected to our, to the next question or to the last question, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But we know that kids learn by moving. Like, it's a huge part of their development to be able to move, to explore around with their bodies.
Yeah.
But somehow we tend to think that when you grow up that it's not so anymore, and that you disregard the influence that your body has on you as a person.
Yeah. Somewhere there's a shift.
Yeah.
Somewhere a person, maybe the adult, says, hey, you shouldn't fight, or hey, you shouldn't run around, or hey, you shouldn't climb. But maybe that's the most essential part of us as human beings. I think we, you and me, believe that is the the exact same thing. We need to move, we need to climb. Through that process, we learn ourselves. Through that process, we learn social skills. It's every mammal learns that way.
Yeah.
Through play, through playing around, through roughhousing, or through hitting their heads sometimes, and then crying, and then they've learned again something very valuable. I think it's very important for us to, in the beginning of our life, sometimes bump our head, cry, so that if we are too much overprotected and we come into this adult life, it's the problems get more real, the effects get more real of the problems. So when you bump your head when you're an adult, it has more greater effect on your life, because the things that you're doing has is a little bit more important than the things that you were doing when you were a child. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, play is such a huge part of us as humans, and to mammals in general. To underline this fact, I wanna talk about how this works. Also, for example, with rats, that people have done experiments with rats, and we can see that rats that don't play, and of course with play we mean play with other rats physically as well.
Yeah.
Rats that don't play, they become not as social as the other rats. They become antisocial. They don't develop as well. They don't become as smart. So you have why am I saying this? Because even with rats it's like this.
Yeah.
It's not only human. It goes so much how do you say? Yeah.
Cats, they sneak up on other cats when they're young, and they grab them from behind. When they are older, that is the exact same way. They sneak up to other preys, and that's the way they survive. And other big animals, they do it more running. How do you say that? Chasing other young mammals, and then playing around like that, and then when they're older, when they're hunting, that's the style that they hunt. They run through it, they chase.
Yeah, the young mammals are trying to simulate
a
situation that they will have to deal with in the future.
Yep.
And it's quite instinctively, right? Because no one is telling them like you should play and do this.
Definitely.
But somehow they still do it, even though they have no earlier memory of this, or they haven't been taught that they have to do it.
Yeah. Let's get back to the first question of Rich. So, seeing life more as constantly movement going around, I think it's also important to have a certain practice.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what he called by, he meant by zooming in and zooming out. So having your own personal practice, something physical, I think that is important to have a little moment in which you can practice. And if you see your practice as something holistic, that is not only just moving with the body, but is we're moving around because everything is in movement, you're actually practicing a little bit with life. So every now and then, once a week, when you go to your practice, whatever it is again,
mm-hmm.
you can do your practice, and you'll
or practices as well.
Or practices, yeah, it could be several things. I think important is that when you just live your life, you'll confront yourself with yourself
mm-hmm.
every now and then.
Yeah.
Suddenly, you're confronted by fear, confronted by your anxiety or your well, whatever the emotion is. If you have a practice, you can practice with that without
yeah.
the effect having a direct effect on your daily life. So when you are confronted with fear during your practice and you do something about it, or you don't do something about it, doesn't matter, it doesn't have an effect. You don't get fired or something.
Mm-hmm.
You don't lose your relationship or your partner. I think that's also important, to just having a practice, seeing it as, well, it could be helpful in daily life. That is, for me, what movements also means. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nicely put.
Yeah.
You're putting pressure on yourself to be able to grow. And this is like the pressure that we don't have.
Yeah.
That much, because of we are relatively safe, we are not starving, we are not afraid of being predated.
Oh.
Or yeah, most people aren't.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when it comes, because I find the practice is very important, but I also think that are you aware of the of Katie Bowman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she,
movements.
Yeah, she also says many interesting things.
Yeah.
One being that a practice is not enough to be healthy or to, you know.
Yeah.
Because a practice, let's say you practice 1 hour a day, which for many people that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's still like 1/24 of your day. And if, let's say, if you, the rest of the day you're
mm-hmm.
sedentary, then that's still an issue. And that's where I find it difficult to integrate a lifestyle that's very movement rich.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I see what you mean. I think that is what I meant by the first thing I was talking about is... it's more than just your practice. It's there's constant movement going
yeah.
on, and whatever you do with your body, you'll get good at that. You'll do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So if you sit a lot, you become very good at sitting, and if you walk a lot, you'll perfect the art of walking, which we all did, I think. And if you integrate that philosophy, I think they'll slowly. You're already practicing it in your practice, and when you integrate that philosophy, I think and I hope it will slowly integrate in your life as well. So slowly you start to think a little bit different, start to make different choices. Shall I grab my car, or shall I grab, well, just walk into the 4 kilometers or whatever it is. Integrating body and mind constantly. Shall I relax my body and watch television, or shall I relax my body and try to focus on being relaxed with my body for just 5 minutes or something? Those small choices, you know, I think that is what I meant by seeing this constant movement going on.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. But I truly agree with you. That's difficult. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, because we live in a society where, like we said, we're a lot in our head, in our mind.
Yeah.
And there's not enough attention being put in the body.
Yeah.
But to get back to something that you said that I also found interesting is using your practice as a way to confront yourself,
mm-hmm.
and try to grow from that, and
yeah.
try to confront fears or weaknesses. Because I've gotten that a lot out of martial arts, but definitely you can get it out of other practices, because you're constantly learning and putting yourself in situations that you wouldn't otherwise put yourself in.
Totally true. I don't know many people that start rolling on the streets and roughhousing.
Yeah.
That's a great way to practice with that, confront yourself in a certain situation.
Yeah, yeah. Because when chaos hits,
mm.
are you sure you will be able to handle that in the best way possible?
Yeah.
As Mike Tyson said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yep, yeah.
And I use that as a metaphor, but in any part of our lives, when chaos happens, I find it's useful if you are able to confront that chaos with being able to think correctly and not becoming anxious,
mm-hmm.
just being in the moment, you know? And that's very, very hard to do.
And you're not talking about, I need to practice martial arts because I need to be able to defend myself when I get punched in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Because lots of people do martial arts without ever starting a fight or
yeah.
Getting into a fight on the streets.
Yeah, you're less likely actually to get into a fight.
Yeah, definitely. And also, the chaos that you talked about, it could be a punch in the face, but it could also be losing someone
yeah.
very close, or
losing your job, yeah,
definitely. And because you've been practicing with that emotion, which is the exact same emotion as the fear you endure during a martial arts. That's what I think, actually, that the stress and the emotions are quite the same.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be the exact same form of event.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
I think it carries over to other areas as well.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah. And you see it as well in certain moves, like let's say if you want to learn a handstand,
mm.
if you are new at this or you haven't done this ever, you might find it very scary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you usually don't walk, or you usually are not standing on your hands or walking on your hands or anything like that.
Yep.
So this is what I mean, like when you're training, we're not only worried about getting more muscles or training those muscles, but we're making neurological connections so that, like, let's say for a perfect handstand, you need so much body awareness, you need to train flexibility of certain joints,
mm-hmm.
you need to be to have a concept of how your core interacts with your balance.
Yeah.
There's so much that you learn from it. But many people just see exercise as like, oh no, I need to do a few reps or of a strength exercise and become stronger, and that's
yeah.
it. And I find that very, very limiting.
Yeah. So only focusing on the end result. I need to do a handstand because then I can do a handstand. But recognizing all the benefits from doing a handstand, not only being able to do a handstand,
yeah,
also the process that brings it, the interesting elements that flow through that process, and all the exactly benefits that you talked about. Yeah.
Yeah, to be able to do it perfectly, the handstand, that's a goal that you have. But that's only to give you direction. And through the journey, that's where you're really learning.
Definitely. I think we all need a practice and a little bit of a process, whatever it is. So it can also be meditating. It can be very interesting to sit. Mm-hmm. Go sit down for 30 minutes, close your eyes, and see what happens. I think that's very, very interesting. Maybe even can be very helpful for a lot of people to confront yourself with your ideas, with your mind. And practicing a handstand is, I think, I see those things very, very similar.
Yeah, definitely.
It needs a little bit of discipline. It involves the body and the mind.
You need to be totally in the moment.
Yeah.
Because you cannot be thinking about other stuff while trying to balance.
Yeah.
Especially in the beginning, you know, you need so much. And when it comes to meditation, that's, I see that also as a form of movement, because you're trying to, as you get more aware, you're realizing how you're breathing, and you might also want to influence your breathing.
Yep.
And that's also part of your body and part of how you move.
I think the difference between a movement and an exercise is, maybe I'm not right with this, it's just something that pops up right now. It's just the movement involves the body and the mind, and the exercise involves the body, doesn't necessarily need the mind. So when I do my practice, I try to focus on it, being constantly aware of my body. And whatever the practice is, I do several things. I do a lot of yoga, I do a lot of bouldering, that's what I really love lately. Sometimes I just go onto the mat and see whatever happens. I do a little bit of swimming, but in all those things I do the exact same thing. Try to feel my body, try to do the exact same thing with my mind as what my body is doing. And while you're doing your exercises, that doesn't necessarily, my ideal of exercising is you're doing something with your body. For instance, you're sitting on a leg extension machine, and while you're doing that movement, you're looking at the TV screen. And so mind and body doing two
different things.
Yeah.
It's like you're training, quote unquote, but
yeah.
You don't want to be training. Your mind is somewhere else. It's you know?
It's sometimes people talk about it's so boring exercising. Well, it can be very interesting to get bored. Get bored already. I think it's very good for us people during this society where we have a lot of stimulation going on. You don't have to get bored a lot. You know, if you get bored, you'll grab your Netflix or whatever. Or you go gaming. But getting bored is maybe the start of something very beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. So, sitting, pushing the leg extension machine, focusing on whatever you're feeling, focusing on where your thoughts are going, trying to get back into whatever you're feeling, because the mind tends to go wherever, you know. That's also very interesting. Where's your attention? Is your attention in your brain? Is it following your thoughts? Is it, because the thoughts can go anywhere, you know, going into the future, going back into your memory. But the body is always in the now. Your body is always here. And then practicing with that also. Practicing with your attention. Because attention is the things that, yeah, wherever your attention goes, that grows. So attention goes to your handstand. Probably your handstand will become better.
And that's why I like activities in which I'm forced to have my mind in the moment.
You're a little bit forced.
Exactly. Mindless exercises, I'm not into that, because that's not my goal. Is not merely just to get bigger muscles. That's not my goal.
Yeah, because you see the benefits of the mental game as well.
Yeah.
Not only the physical game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think a part of it is also that through your practice, you are essentially learning how to express yourself in the best possible way.
Yeah.
I think Bruce Lee also said that with his martial arts training, he was learning how to express himself.
Yeah.
And with all practices, it's the same way, because if you're not doing it mindlessly, you're constantly being confronted by yourself.
Yeah.
And to overcome that, you have to keep learning. You know, like you're constantly in a flow, in a wave, and you're riding that wave.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I try to see my practice.
Nice. Yeah. I think that to express yourself. Why do people exercise? Why do people do their practice movements? It's mostly because of a physical thing.
Mm-hmm.
I truly benefited for myself from letting that go and focusing more on elements like creativity and expression, improvisation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is very interesting. For me, it's more important than flexibility, mobility, strength, those kind of physical elements.
Because those physical elements, they're important as well, but those are the tools that you use to express yourself.
Yeah. And I also think
some people have limited tools, so
yeah,
they cannot really, you know, like move that well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, but I also think that when you focus on those things, that these other physical elements will naturally grow.
Mm.
So when you have a certain movement drill that requires a little bit creativity, and you're trying to feel your body and trying several certain different things out with your body, playing around with creativity and improvisation, your body is moving a lot. And when you do that, maybe not for one time a week, for a month, but maybe for a couple years, flexibility, mobility, strength will come. Yeah.
As a side effect of
exactly,
following your practice.
Yeah.
And I think approaching it this way makes it more likely that you will stick to your practice, I think.
Yeah.
Because the problem many people have is that their practice is a chore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I'm at a point in my life, and you as well, and many people that I know, that the practice means so much to us. And I cannot imagine myself without practicing some sort of movement.
Yeah.
You know, it's insane that I think many people see it as like, oh, a chore. Like, oh, I need to go exercise now.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like a shift in your paradigm, you know, that you
yeah.
have. It's a totally different thing.
Definitely. And again, the choices you make, they suddenly change. For instance, I've been doing a lot of yoga
mm-hmm.
the last couple of years, and yoga is amazing because you get a lot of flexibility, movements, but sometimes it's also a little bit limited, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's only a lot of flexibility movements, and there's a lot of pushing going on, and we do downward dogs, and which are amazing, but after 1,000 downward dogs, it becomes unhealthy, you know. And your body also needs the other way, moving the direct other way. And that's the reason why I started bouldering. Why do we push? If we push a lot during yoga on the mat, we may also need to pull a lot. And that is something you don't do on the yoga mat. You cannot pull yourself upwards, you know? Vertical movements. So that was a choice that I made from a movement perspective, I think.
Yeah.
And it's been very beneficial. It helped on my yoga movements as well. And my body's very happy with it. Because it's, suddenly it's not only pushing a lot, but it's also, again, pulling. Which I think for us as humans, we come from the apes. Something apes always do, you know, hanging around, pulling. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think what we're trying to do with this concept of movement, to go back to the question, is that we're trying to blur the lines of where the categories of different disciplines are.
Yeah, yeah, nice.
You know, it's a...
That's great.
You have weightlifting or powerlifting, you have calisthenics, you have martial arts, you have gymnastics or yoga.
Yeah.
And all of these, with all of these practices, you can improve the tools or specific tools that we just said, like flexibility, mobility,
yeah,
strength. But why are we seem to limit ourselves to one category, and
yeah,
so not all our tools are sharpened.
Mm, yeah.
We are limited in our tools because of that. Why not use everything to express yourself? And this is where movement or your practice merges with a little bit of art, you know, because then it's not only sports or health, it's also expression and art.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, blurring the lines, blurring the boundaries between specialties.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Bringing them together, not because we want to master something, be very good at something, but because it's all very interesting. It's all amazing to the movements that we see in calisthenics, the movements that we see in martial arts.
Yeah, people have a tendency of just attaching to one discipline and seeing that as the holy grail.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, no, this is the best thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I've been guilty of this as well, but...
Me as well, of course.
But it's a limiting idea. It's funny because sometimes I also do some weightlifting, or I started with that, especially with the leg part, because I find that squats and deadlifts are also very essential movements.
Mm, yeah.
You know, like that's the way you pick something up,
yeah,
from the floor in the most effective way possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I do some weighted calisthenics as well. I put some weights on my body and see what I can still do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm limiting myself there. And then I hear people say, but wait, you're not doing calisthenics anymore.
Mm,
but
yeah,
for me, that's not the point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The point is that you're becoming stronger and you're using all the tools that you have to do so.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really true. Yeah.
Do we have other questions or did we...
We can take a look at it. I think we have answered a question too. What meaning do you find in the practice? I think we talked a lot about what it means to us.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can add a little bit something to that. Maybe not.
Yeah, we can add something to that.
Yeah.
What
meaning do you find in the practice?
This makes me think of something we talked before the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
When we were talking about the idea brought by Jordan Peterson about chaos and order.
Mm.
And he says that meaning is where chaos and order, like, it's in the middle of those two.
Yeah.
And I find it with your practice, it's the same way, because you don't want to keep doing something that you're used to. Only that, because then you're not growing and you don't want to do something that you can't do, but you want to be in the middle of those, and
yeah,
that's where growth happens, that's where self-expression happens.
Nice. Yeah,
that's where the meaning is, in my opinion.
I truly agree with that. Yeah, find the chaos and order theory very helpful to create something that doesn't dominate the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Chaos dominating order, or the other way around. I think it's beautiful. It also reminds me a lot of the yin and yang concept. Everything has an opposite, and everything is well, if something dominates, it creates a stress. And I don't know exactly how to express this concept right now, maybe later, but it's just it's a beautiful theory of order and chaos, definitely. Yeah
definitely. Yeah, with everything, is it's a balance that you try to accomplish.
You want to create the harmony between between both.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of examples actually, but
examples of
time of it. Yeah, yin and yang, examples of order, chaos.
When it comes to the practice, you mean, or
or in general. So. Order being whatever you create in your life.
Yeah, it's
your
safe
zone.
It's your safe zone.
And chaos being nature, for example. Nature that's very beautiful but also destructive.
Yeah, that's why in stories, nature is symbolic of chaos. Even though it's beautiful, it's inspiring. But if you go in true nature, and most people don't, by the way, if you go to a park, that's not really nature, that's orderly nature, you know?
Yeah.
If you go to true nature and that's really chaos, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There are animals that will kill you. There's, like, any little thing will poison you or whatever.
Yep.
Diseases, viruses.
Yeah.
That's all chaos, nature.
That's nature, yeah.
And so order is also a very fine thing because we can just sit here, talk, drink some tea, be comfortable.
Yeah. But if you have
too much
of it,
then that's where the problem...
We have too much nature, you know, we shouldn't dominate
you die
it,
then
we shouldn't make it dominate us. And if you have too much order, if your couches are full of plastic because you do not want to ruin your couch, I think that's an example of a little bit too much order.
That's a little an extreme example of too much order.
I truly hope that someday there will become a little bit more harmony between between especially nature and society.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think there are already a big positive changes. You know, people, what we hear people talk about, plastic ocean and everything, but just trying to, I'll use that word again, connect ourselves with nature. Maybe that's the same thing that we talked about, body and mind, connecting body and mind.
Mm-hmm.
They might be the exact same thing when it comes to society and nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seeing that thing not so much as two different things, but they're actually quite the same. This influenced that influenced the other.
Mm-hmm.
So on a holistic way,
that
is my movement practice as well, creating more connection, starting with myself, starting with my mind and my body, and then something greater, maybe connecting my students that follow my classes, you know, try to connect a little bit more deeper between you guys. So not on a verbal way, because we already talk a lot, but more on a non-verbal way, for example. Not because verbal ways is bad, but it's just different.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing if we can connect there, and then maybe this goes out to a bigger group, and then in 100 years everyone's a mover, and then society and nature is connected, and everything's a little bit more, not connected, but in harmony.
This connection, that's I find that's the challenge of the current system.
Mm.
Because we have the illusion of being connected with each other through social media, yet way more people say that they're lonely right now. It's insane. You know, with overpopulation and with all these tools to connect with each other, still people feel disconnected, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
and also with nature, because I find that a big problem is that we're disconnected with our food. People, when we were hunter and gatherers, we weren't like that, because we were hunting, we were gathering food.
Yeah.
But now, would you just buy a hamburger or something in the supermarket? You don't know where that came from. Yeah. You know, it's so you're disconnected from it, and in this way, you also lose a little bit of
awareness. Where comes
awareness, and
where does it come from? What am I eating?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. But if you were aware of what it's doing to other creatures or to the world, then that would be, you would think differently and act differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we answered the meaning question now.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think so as well.
Yeah.
But I think we answered all the questions, mm-hmm. actually. And how much time has been?
We're at 46 minutes, so... Yeah, you still want to say something? Maybe we can talk a little about how do we integrate this in our practice? What do we do exactly? And maybe something like that. I think for me, if I want to give something to someone that is listening, I'll say, do whatever you do right now, or whatever you're going to do. What connect your mind a little bit with your body.
Mm.
So if you're sitting listening, put this podcast out and stop listening to something external and start listening to something internal. You don't have to constantly do it, but just practice it. Practice connecting those two things. And then maybe something will change. Maybe your decisions will change in the future. In the nearby future, hope so.
Yeah, that's a very good tip. And I would say to add to that, see your practice as something playful, as if you were a kid, because kids never say, I should exercise now, or I should train. No, they just do it, and in the process they train.
Yeah.
As you say, but just approaching it playfully, and do what you like the most. If you like dancing, do that.
So
if you like swimming, do that.
So
if you like fighting, go and do it. There are many ways of doing that nowadays without endangering yourself.
Yeah.
So
definitely
find what works for you. Be playful and be in the moment.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Playing like Johan Huizinga says from his book Homo Ludens.
Mm. I still have to read that one.
Yeah. I have read the summary, actually. But I think it's about his way of looking to human society. We are not Homo sapiens.
Mm-hmm.
We call ourselves...
Homo ludens, right?
Yeah, it's not the wise man. That's the meaning of Homo sapiens. But it's the playful man.
Mm.
We learn through play. Everything can be seen as a play, whatever.
Mm.
If you look at politics, economics, school, education system, there's a lot of playing going on in there. So if you learn through play, shouldn't we have a practice that involves play? Yeah,
that's an interesting idea.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, when you every time you're interacting with someone, you kind of playing, right? You say something, you see how the person reacts to what you're saying.
Mm.
Everything we do, actually, it's
based
on that.
Okay. Maybe end up by calling our website. Mine's www.mindfulmovements.nl.
Uh-huh.
And yours is?
Mine is movementinstinct.nl. We are also both on Facebook and Instagram and all the other social media.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. That was the podcast.
Thank you so much, man.
You too.